Hello, and welcome to Kathleen Can Do It, the DIY podcast celebrating the fun and fails of doing it yourself. I'm Kathleen Martin.
And I'm Kathleen Heaney.
And we're just two Kathleens on a continual rug education journey. Yeah. That's what I'm going for.
And in this episode, we are discussing how rugs are made and why it matters when you're purchasing a rug. And this is part two of our episode where we talked about how to pick the right rug material. What episode was that?
That was episode 11, The Shocking Truth About Area Rugs. What are they made out of?
We also did a rug sizing episode in episode 6 called How to Buy the Right Sized Rug. But today we are so excited to give you very exclusive, our hottest Etsy shopping tips ever.
Hottie, hot.
I have one for you. Kathleen has one for you. You will never shop on Etsy the same way again.
Yes.
First, let's get to part two of episode 11. We present to you
how rugs are made
and why you need to care so you don't get ripped off. Okay, Kathleen.
Yeah.
Everything that we've talked about up until this point, what rugs are made of, that information is totally useless unless you also understand how rugs are made.
Okay.
Because that is going to influence your buying decision. Basically, how a rug is made determines how durable it is. And there are a couple of like key words that can be tricky and confusing. So here we go. First and foremost, rugs have two distinctive qualities to them. One, pile height.
Right.
And two, construction type.
Okay.
So pile height is basically just the length of the fiber that is on the rug, like having a buzz cut as opposed to having really long hair.
Yeah, makes sense.
And they say that there are two different pile types, low pile and high pile. I'm going to go ahead and say that there are three different pile types because there are flat weave rugs. And technically that's low pile, but I'm going to call that no pile. Low pile rugs are really short, dense fibers. They're way more durable than high pile rugs. High pile rugs to me are like very glamorous, very soft. You want to put them in your bedroom, a place where you're not walking with shoes because the longer the fiber, the harder it is to clean.
So the highest pile would be shag, right?
Yes. Okay. And you have a shag in your entryway, which every time I walk into your house, I'm like, why does she have this shag here?
You want to know why?
Yeah, tell me why.
Because we don't go through the front door.
Oh.
Yeah, we only enter through the side door, which has a disgusting mat.
Okay, yeah.
And we take our shoes off there, so.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So I'm the only one that puts my shoes on I go in the front door when I go to your house.
Yeah.
Okay.
Noted.
Okay. Construction type. I'm going to kind of go by most expensive to least expensive.
All right.
Most expensive is hand knotted. People who do this are true artisans. They use skills that have been passed down for generations and they do it completely by hand. It takes months and months and months to make large hand knotted rugs.
The thought of knotting every single piece of fiber.
Yeah.
Makes my hands ache thinking of it.
But those are the types of rugs that last for 100+ years.
But I think, isn't that what my shag rug is?
Yeah.
Because it's vintage, I believe, hand knotted. All the way from Iraq.
Yeah.
In like the 70s.
Well, so hand knotted and hand woven are two different things.
Ew.
So I think that yours is hand knotted, but it may also be hand woven.
Okay, I'm going to do some research. I'll check.
Hand woven, also a really great quality rug, but not quite as expensive as hand knotted. And that's because hand woven rugs, they don't take as long to make. They don't need as much material as hand knotted rugs. And both are good rugs, but budget really here is the main factor.
So tell me the difference then. Like, what is happening in the weaving as opposed to the knotting?
So really, you just answered your own question. One is knotting a rug.
Right.
And one is weaving a rug. And hand-woven rugs, you know when you see those really chunky rugs that almost look like a sweater?
Mm-hmm.
Those are hand-woven.
Okay.
You really get a nice weave with a hand-woven rug. Hand-knotted is really just about like tying knots and creating a design that way as opposed to weaving the fibers together. That's the main difference. Jute rugs, like a lot of high quality jute rugs and natural fiber rugs like grasses and sisal, they are hand woven.
Okay.
Okay. Now there's hand tufted. Now, because it has the word hand in it, you're like, oh, this is a good quality rug. Well, let me tell you, it is a false illusion because they're only partially made by hand.
I love hand tufted rugs. Tell me more. The obsession.
You like them because the price is cheaper.
The obsession started in 2020. It's a hobby that's on my to-do list. It's far down the line because it's expensive. But oh my God, it looks so cool. So tell me more about it.
Okay, well, there's a reason why you want to make hand-tufted rugs, because you weren't born into an artisan family making hand-knotted rugs, and it's a much easier craft to learn. Mm-hmm. So hand-tufted, despite having the word hand in it, a lot of companies will be like, hand-tufted. It makes you think, oh, I'm getting something special. Not really, because it's only partially made by hand, and it's mostly, if not entirely, made by a machine.
Wait. Okay. So when I think of a hand tufted rug, I think of a one person using a gun.
Yeah.
So there's the tufting gun.
Yeah.
So when you say machine, do you mean the gun, or is there actually like even a step further in automation that would make it less handmade?
So you can get a completely hand tufted rug made by one person, and it's made using the tufting gun, but commercially produced hand, quote unquote, hand tufted rugs are started by hand and then they're done with a machine, a tufting machine.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. And in the case of hand tufted rugs, the fibers don't need to be the same quality as the type of materials that you're using in hand woven and hand knotted rugs.
Got it.
Also, hand tufted rugs, they freaking shed a lot.
So damn much.
And that is because after the machine does all of the rug loops, they're shaved down so you can't see the loops anymore. So it's like little fibers standing straight up.
Same with the gun. I watch a lot of videos of shaving rugs.
Yes. Yeah, it's a thing. After you tuft it, then you shave it.
It's really, really soothing.
It does seem very satisfying. I have to admit something.
What?
I have a tufted rug in my bedroom. I have to vacuum it all the time. I like it.
Yeah.
But it does. It sheds everywhere. It was affordable. And I bought it before I rug-jucated myself on these topics.
So I looked up my rug. Unclear.
I bet your shag is hand knotted.
I could actually ask the owner. I'm friends with him on Instagram. Hi, this is Kathleen from the future. I did look into it. And yes, it is hand knotted. Back to the program. I should mention, because I highly recommend it. It's at Kazima Carpets.
Oh, okay. Will you spell that for me?
So his name is Josh. It's at Kazima Carpets, KazimaCarpets. Mm. Congratulations to Josh. He also just quit teaching and now is selling rugs full time. Go, Josh.
Ooh. Now there's also a type of rug called hooked rugs.
Yes, this is very grandma-y.
Very farmhouse-y, but you can get a lot of really beautiful hooked rugs. You know that company, Rifle Paper Company? Mm-hmm. They just came out with rugs like 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Really cute stuff. I actually have one in my room at my mom's house. They do a lot of really beautiful hooked rugs. Now, hooked rugs are very similar to hand-tufted rugs, but they don't get shaved down afterwards, so the loop is still intact.
Okay. I think I was thinking of something else. When you had like a plastic backing and you like did it yourself, is like a craft. I think I'm thinking of something different.
You're like thinking of hooked rugs because hooked rugs, rather than using a tufting gun, they're made using a crochet hook that you push the yarn through sort of like a pre-made design.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, so I am thinking of that. That's why I said it was like grandma-y, not even necessarily the style. I think it was like a trend.
Yeah.
How many years ago, 50 years ago?
Yeah, yeah,
to
definitely.
To make your own hooked rug.
Yeah. So hooked rugs are great for intricate designs. I will say this, they're hard to clean because the loops are delicate. You need to put your vacuum on a special setting to clean it in a gentler way. I would only put this in a room where you're not walking with shoes.
No beater brush. I learned that on my flat weave cotton rug.
Okay.
Certain rugs that are, because I'm pretty sure my flat weave cotton rug is still made by hand, even though it's cheap, which I don't understand.
No, it's hand woven.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it can get caught in the beater brush. So you have to have a vacuum that doesn't spin. It just sucks.
Oh, yes. Because, well, cotton is a more delicate fiber than wool. So that would make a lot of sense. Mm. actually your cotton rug because it was cheap. It was probably made by a power loom, which is a machine that looms the rug.
Right.
But I'm going to get to it, but I'm going to say that power loom machine made rugs are better than hand tufted rugs. Okay.
Okay.
Next one on the list. Oh, look, here we are. Machine made knotted rugs. I got ahead of myself there. Definitely the most affordable option. Mm-hmm. Very similar to hand knotted rugs.
Okay.
Which is funny because hand knotted rugs are the ones that are so expensive. But when you look at them from the surface, the top of the rug, from the surface of the rug, sometimes you cannot tell the difference between a hand knotted rug and a machine made power loomed knotted rug.
I believe it. I think it's probably the bane of every artist ever was, that a machine is doing it better or the same.
Yeah, but hand knotted rugs are going to last you way longer because they're more durable.
Right.
Machine knotted rugs will last you 20 years.
Okay.
If you get them made with a high quality fiber, that is the thing. Machine made rugs on a power loom, they can be made in all different types of fiber.
Mm-hmm.
Synthetics, naturals, whatever. But if you get a high quality fiber, that rug's going to last you 20 years. You get a low quality fiber made by a machine, that rug is gonzo in a year and a half.
Man, these are all things I've never thought of.
I know. Okay. It's really very quite confusing. So let's get back to the question that we talked about at the top of the podcast from Kyra.
Okay.
So Kyra wrote in the Acquired Taste podcast group, which is my other podcast, "Has anyone bought a rug from Ruggable? I'm looking for honest reviews because it seems too good to be true. I need 4 rugs for my house because I just moved. I'm so overwhelmed. Kathleen Can Do It has been a godsend as I try to figure this all out, but I am still confused. So she needs a rug for her living room, her front entry / her doormat, her office, and her dining room."
Lots of rugs.
Okay, Kyra, before we break down your rooms, I want to give you an honest review of Ruggable. I've owned 2 Ruggables in the past. I have one currently in my office right now. Mm-hmm. It is the shag type of Ruggable rug. It's a synthetic material. It's from their Moroccan collection. It's really cozy. I got it in my office because I record a lot in there and I needed some padding for the room to absorb sound so there wasn't an echo. I love it.
I didn't know that Ruggable had shag, so I was surprised, and it is very nice.
Because when Ruggable first came out, and this was the trend with a lot of washable rugs when they first came out, they were all super, super flat. There was no pile. They were like a complete flat, flat, flat weave. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really flat.
And then technology got better, and now Ruggable and other rug companies with washable rugs like Revival.
Mm-hmm.
Kathleen, I was so impressed by the Revival washable rug in your living room. I was sitting on it. I was like, I cannot believe that this is a washable rug.
Yeah, because I think flat, and this has like a low pile. I mean, it's a little fluffy. It's not shag.
Yeah.
Medium pile? I don't know.
It's still low pile, but it's really soft and a little bit fluffy.
It was.
And it was pleasant to sit on, mm-hmm. more so than a flat weave rug. I love washable rugs. I love Ruggable. I love Revival. Here is my best piece of advice when choosing a washable rug for a room. If you're putting that rug under really heavy pieces of furniture that can't ever be moved,
right.
What's the point of having a rug that you can wash?
Or if the size is so large that it can't fit in your own washing machine and you have to take it out special,
mm-hmm.
what are the odds that you're going to wash it?
I know. So the one I have in my office is 6x9. And I would say that is the absolute max, and I'm totally stretching it. I probably shouldn't even put it in my regular home washing machine. Mm-hmm. I soak it in my bathtub first to get it really clean, and I spot treat that way. And then I put it through a wash cycle, because when I put it through the wash cycle just itself, because it's such a large rug, it doesn't get it completely clean.
Right.
So that is something to think about. Also, I keep it in my office where there's only one piece of furniture on the edge of it.
That's such a good point. I don't think a lot of people think, I didn't really think about that. Like, what are the odds I'm moving this couch?
Yeah. And I'm having a really tough time with my rug in my bedroom right now. I was moving my bed around, super heavy storage bed. I cannot get the rug to go back into the right spot because my bed is so heavy and it doesn't fit through the door. Like, I cannot completely take it out of my room. My bedroom is on the smaller side.
Right.
That is also something to think about when you're buying a rug. Like, I wouldn't put a Ruggable in my bedroom. Can't move my bed.
I actually have the same exact problem.
Yeah.
Put the rug down, then brought in a king bed.
Yes.
And then had to move the bed to put the air conditioner in. The rug has never been the same. It is wrinkled. It is horrible.
I know.
And I'm not going to disassemble this bed. Like, no. You can't lift the bed. So I'm like, how do people... I don't know.
And never ever in my life have I picked out a rug first and it came to the house before I put together a bed in a room. I always like put in the bed and then you live there and you're like, what kind of rug do I want? And you ruminate on it. That is something I feel like a lot of people don't think about. So there, our true advice on washable rugs, Kyra.
Yeah.
Okay, Kathleen, do you want to break it down? Where does Kyra need rugs in her new house?
So she needs one in her living room, mm-hmm. her front door, like entry area, mm-hmm. office and dining room.
What kind of rug, best bang for your buck, would you put in a living room?
Oh my God. It's like I'm in school again. What have I learned? I would say,
okay,
don't get it wrong. Okay. Either hand or machine woven wool.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So here's the difference. Kyra, if you do a machine made rug wool, one that is knotted, not tufted, you're going to get a nice thick pile. Mm. Okay. It's going to be a substantial rug. But if you go with a hand woven rug, it's going to be on the thinner side. Hand woven rugs are great for layering.
Okay.
So if you want to do like a larger natural fiber jute or sisal rug and then put a smaller, more colorful one on top of that, I would go with hand woven. Elsewise, I would find a machine made rug, not hand tufted, in wool to put in your living room.
Like, are we looking for the word power loom? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, like a power loom machine made rug.
I've seen that a lot on Wayfair when it says that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a lot. Even I am struggling because I am learning in the moment.
Yeah.
We will add descriptions and details to our Instagram, to our episode cheat sheet.
Yes.
So that you don't have to remember everything when you're listening. You don't have to write it all down. We will summarize this for you.
Or if you can easily lift up the furniture in your living room and you don't mind taking a rug to a laundromat, by all means, get a washable rug for your living room.
Yeah.
Especially if you eat dinner on the couch like I do every single night.
Hear, hear. Me too. And think about comfort. Like, think about, mm-hmm. are you going to be sitting on the ground? How do you want it to feel? How does the room function?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, entryway, Kathleen. What would you put in the entryway? She said she needs a doormat.
Oh, I need help with this too. I just have a plain, affordable doormat. I don't have something cute. If you're going for cute, what would you pick?
I mean, they make all sorts of cute doormats, especially they make extra large ones. But if you have sort of like a larger foyer, I would do a flat weave in a synthetic jute and then layer your doormat on top of that or something like that.
Oh, you want to know who just came out with a line of larger yet smaller washable rugs? That's confusing because they have a washable size, like a doormat size.
Oh.
But then they're doing like my parents' foyer would be like the
four by six.
Mm-hmm. It's medium.
Mm-hmm.
Gel Pro, they have a washable one. Now that I think of it.
A washable doormat.
A washable doormat. Yeah. And they have a larger like 4x6 washable rug that you could still throw in your washing machine, but they do have the doormat too.
I love that. That's a good eco-friendly option. So buy it once, keep washing it and have it for years and years, because I feel like doormats, they get musty pretty easily and people get rid of them after a while.
Right.
Okay. Dining room. This is controversial because I always put a rug underneath a dining room table. But I had a friend recently who told me, you're crazy. People eat there. Don't put anything.
Depends on the rug. I would always put a rug there too. And mm-hmm. I'm just thinking about choices that I've made without thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also making me think of purchases that my parents have made.
Yeah.
Because I, Kathleen Martin, am one of six kids and we're all married. So there are 12 of us with our spouses.
Oh my God.
And then there's 12 grandkids.
Oh my God.
Right? Are there 12 grandkids?
That's insane.
So there's like 25 of us mm-hmm. just in my family. We have a large dining room.
Yeah.
And it's been the same table, the same rug for the last at least 20 years. I'll have to ask my mom what type of rug, because when you do spend a little bit more and invest in the right material quality rug,
mm-hmm.
you can have it under the dining room table for 20, 30, 40 years. That's actually kind of blowing my mind now that I'm thinking of that.
Okay. What is the design? Is it an oriental rug?
Yeah, it's like an oriental rug.
Okay. So it is 100% a hand knotted rug.
And it probably was a couple $1,000s.
Yeah, it probably was. But look at the benefits of that. Your parents bought it once and 20 plus years later, it's still around.
Yeah, you don't have to rebuy it. You're not spending $500 10 times.
Hand knotted rugs are not in my budget.
Me either.
They're not in my budget. But I also grew up in a house with oriental rugs, which were very expensive. They were in the house for 25 plus years. The only reason we got rid of them was because my dad was a smoker and like it was, you know, and they were also brown, like brown. Ew. When I redesigned my mom's house, I was like, we need some color in here.
I'm just thinking it's also a different concept. Like we change our mind more often now, right?
Millennials definitely change our minds more often.
Like committing to a rug for 20 years sounds wild.
Insane to me, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and you don't live in your forever home.
Yeah.
So you're not going to go out and spend thousands of dollars on a rug in a house that you probably plan to live in for less than 10 years, right?
My house is a shoebox. No, it's not forever.
That is also something to think about when you're purchasing a rug. Like, do you live in your forever home?
Right. That is a good point.
Are you a renter?
Yeah.
In a dining room, I would put a low pile wool rug because they are easier to clean than synthetic rugs in the long run. They don't catch food. Like I wouldn't put a high pile really anywhere other than a bedroom and maybe an office if you need sound insulation. Something low pile, depending on your budget, food's going to get on it. Chairs are going to be dragged back and forth across it. A synthetic, like we talked about before, you can ruin synthetic rugs by dragging furniture on them. So when people, you know, pull the chairs out and then sit down and push the chairs in, there's going to be wear and tear in those areas specifically. If you really want to spend the least amount of money, go ahead, buy a hand tufted rug for your dining room because it's going to be cost effective. Even though the fiber, the quality of the fiber is going to be a little bit less, at least it's a wool rug.
Also think about the coloring. So probably don't get a white rug for the dining room, which I did when I had my apartment. It was terrible. So that when the spaghetti and the meatball does fall on the ground, you're not going to, the burgundy rug in my kitchen, it doesn't matter. I drop mac and cheese on there. It doesn't matter. You don't see it.
I know. Well, that's also the beauty of low pile or having something washable or wipeable is that when you have it in a kitchen, really easy to just like wipe off guacamole or macaroni and cheese or whatever you drop on it. Okay. I've laid it all out there, Kathleen.
Yes.
Everybody has all the information that they need to move forward in life, making an informed rug purchase.
Myself included.
Just make sure that if you're buying it online, you're looking, you're going to that product details, and you're looking at exactly what that rug is made out of, because I would really truly hate for someone to think that they were getting 100% wool rug. And I mean, 100% wool rug, say you need a large one, like an 8x10 or a 9x12, that'll cost you upwards of $1,000, $1,500. You're going to get a pretty quality rug for that. I mean, a lot of wool rugs will go for thousands, like $5,000, $10,000.
Right.
I've never purchased a rug that expensive before, but I just want you to not get ripped off, to have this information with you for your next purchase. If you go into Wayfair, sometimes you type in 100% wool rug. I mean, really any website, Overstock, whatever, other options will come up that are not 100% wool unless you look at them at that materials tag or that materials tab on the item. You really don't know what you're getting.
Is now the time to talk about not getting ripped off through who you're buying it from? Because you know a great hack, and you've shown me, of how many companies sell the same rug, but not at the same price.
I was eyeing a rug. So the rug in my living room, I needed a 9x12 and I didn't want to spend more than $1,000.
It's a big rug and it's beautiful.
Thank you. It's huge.
Yeah.
And the rug that I wanted so badly was $5,000. And I don't have that kind of money to spend on a rug. I'm sorry. Like, I haven't contributed to my 401k in 2 years. I'm not spending $5,000 on a rug. I went on Etsy and I found a basically identical rug that I think is made by the same factory that makes the $5,000 ones.
Yeah.
And it was like $1,200.
Here's the thing. There are parent factories yeah. that then ship to, it's like, if you think of it like a family tree or, well, what's like a science-y term?
Where yeah, like, it's like the veins of yeah, the tributaries.
What, some type of diagram.
Yeah.
But you got the parent factory on top, and then the little legs, they sell to Overstock mm-hmm. and to Target. And it's the same exact rug, and they'll either just name it something different. Mm-hmm. And depending on the market, they price it according to their price point, even though the rug that they started with mm-hmm. was the same.
And also, if you find a really expensive wool rug that you like, a lot of times that same factory will make the same pattern in a synthetic rug. So it's cheaper. So basically my hard and fast rule for rug buying is never purchase a rug unless you've done the Google image search.
That's what I was going to say. I didn't know if you were going to do it, but yeah, that is the ultimate hack. It's satisfying, but it's also like, hey, I almost got ripped off. What the heck?
I know. And because a lot of websites will sell the same rug at different price points, you're really just being an informed consumer. But my favorite rug hack is buying on Etsy directly from the factories.
Yeah, I didn't know this until you told me.
Anthropology rugs. If you go on anthropology.com, you copy the description, paste that description into Etsy, a lot of the times you're going to find an identical version of that rug for half the price.
Which is interesting. And I don't know if it's like chicken or the egg.
Yeah.
Who's copying who. But a lot of times big companies will rip off the designs of small designers. I'm not saying this is always the case with, Anthropology, but there are smaller makers that then have large corporations steal their design.
Absolutely. And with Etsy, I will say this. I've tried to purchase artwork off of Etsy before where I thought I was getting like an original oil painting and they send me something else, or they say, oh, I'm making it. And it never comes.
Ew.
That has happened to me on Etsy before. And Etsy is really good about refunding your money if you buy something bogus. But in terms of rugs, because it is such a big item and it's hard to ship back, make sure you're reading the reviews. Make sure the reviews are from people who spell correctly and who provide photos in homes that actually look real. But I have had a lot of success. I mean, I'm telling you, a lot of success buying both vintage and new rugs from Etsy that on other websites I saw selling for thousands of dollars more.
My tip for Etsy, if you're trying to buy a vintage rug, check the photos, see if they're in natural light. They'll usually photograph them outside. If it's not, I would just send them a message, say, have you edited this? Can I see more photos? That way you can be sure the color is what you're looking for. Because I have gotten many a rug that is darker than it looks online. And it's so frustrating.
On Etsy, I'm really into looking up vintage rugs and Ooshak rugs. Look that up, O-U-S-H-A-K.
They come in pink. I went down a very, very deep rabbit hole of saving pink Ooshak rugs on Etsy.
I love colorful rugs. I want to cast a spell on anyone who makes a brown rug. Why? You don't need brown rugs. Brown rugs.
A spell?
Put your brown rugs in the trash. I cursed the day the brown rug became popular.
Coming with big swings over here.
I hate brown rugs. Put color in your house with a nice, brightly colored rug.
We'll see how you feel 6 months from now. Brown is trending up.
No, don't tell
brown
me that.
Brown kitchens, wood paneling.
Dark wood is one thing.
It is coming back. Gray is out. Brown is in. Tune in 6 months from now. It's all brown.
I will keep an open mind.
I'm going to hold you to that.
No. Please don't. If you want to follow me, Kathleen Heaney, you can do so at Kathleen Loves Color.
And you can follow me, Kathleen Martin, at Create a Colorful Life. Follow this podcast at Kathleen Can Do It.
Send us an email. Our address is hello@KathleenCanDoIt.com.
You can leave us a voicemail. Our number is 201-378-3378. And don't forget,
if Kathleen can do it, you can do it too.